You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zalecki. Todd, it seems like we have some version of this conversation nearly every week, but you wrote an item this week that general manager Ruben Amaro said moves are coming this winter and that things have to change. But there weren't a lot of specifics, which I guess is understandable. You may not know, and if you do know, you're not going to tip your hand. But read between the lines for us a little, if you will. What do you think he meant with that sort of changes coming statement?
Well, I think it's an acknowledgement of sorts that they know they must make changes to get better. In other words, I think they went into this season, and based off the contract that they gave A.J. Burnett in February, they really believed that with everybody healthy, they were going to be able to compete. Now, they pretty much had everybody healthy all year, excluding Cliff Lee, and you know they're in last place in the National League East. So I think they've finally come to that realization that, you know what, we're not going to be able just to sign a free agent starting pitcher in the offseason, maybe find a bat in left field or something, and be a 90-win team again. So I think it's his acknowledgement that they're going to have to make some type of moves to kind of start getting them back on the right track. And now how, if they can accomplish that is a totally different question, but at least I think they're going to try as hard as they can to get things changed around. That includes trading somebody like Papelbon, somebody like Ryan Howard, finding a couple new outfielders, you know, things along that nature. And those things are not easily done.
If that is in fact the case, and if it is a full on, even if sort of vaguely so, if it is in fact a full acknowledgement that the direction needs to change. That seems pretty big to me, because it seems like for a long time the position of this club has been almost defiant, that we're good enough to win, and it's close, and the pieces are here. And if I'm reading correctly, and if I'm hearing you correctly, that seems to me like a fairly significant change. Do you think that's an accurate read?
I do, yes, I do. And, you know, you wonder how they're going to kind of go about their business in the offseason, if they might take a longer view look at things rather than a shorter view look at things in terms of, you know, let's just try to plug a hole here. Let's try to get this guy, have him play left field. Let's try to get this guy to fill out the rotation and then hope if everybody's healthy again that, you know, this team can produce. And so I think they might maybe take a little bit of a step back and not go out there and just go crazy, spend money. Not to say that they won't go after, you know, there's a Cuban free agent outfielder out there, Yasmani Tomas. I think they might try to make a run at him. That would be a big time move. But, you know, I don't think they're going to. I think they understand where they are, and I think they understand that they have a lot of things they need to improve upon to get better. You know, even if they would sign Yasmani Tomas or, you know, make a trade to help improve the offense, they are still so far away from competing. And I think that's at least an important acknowledgement. You know, like I said, they went out and they signed A.J. Burnett to a one-year $16 million deal with a really expensive player option because they said, you know what, we still think we can win. And so this acknowledgement is, in my opinion, a pretty big change of course or, you know, a different way of looking at things.
I'm almost hesitant to bring it up because I don't want to make it on the level of baseball decisions, but I feel like it's something we need to talk about. David Montgomery is clearly an absolutely enormous figure in that organization, and at least for the time being, he's not going to be around running the organization. There's obviously a personal impact there, and he's a guy, as you've written repeatedly, is just really highly regarded.
Right.
From just an organizational perspective, what is the impact of this organization running on a day-to-day basis in the absence of a guy who really has, in a lot of ways, been the kind of figurehead for the organization for quite a long time?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how it all shakes out. But my understanding is that, you know, Pat Gillick is assuming David's responsibilities, and you know, I'm sure he's going to have he's going to lean heavily on a lot of his vice presidents, you know, in terms of operations administration, sales, marketing, you know, those types of things. But I think he is definitely going to be or have a greater hand in terms of baseball operations. And, you know, he served as a senior advisor for David Montgomery and for Ruben Amaro Jr. since 2008 when he retired as GM. But he was an advisor. So, you know, he would tell Ruben, you know, I like this move. I like what you're thinking here. Or I don't like this move. I don't like what you're thinking here. He'd do the same thing with David. But ultimately, when it came down to it, you know, it was David's decision and Ruben's decision. And now with Pat kind of assuming those roles, you know, he'll be able to wield greater influence. So I think it's going to have a pretty significant impact on how the organization goes about things. And not to say that he's going to make a lot of big changes, because that's not Pat Gillick's style. When he replaced Ed Wade in 2005, everybody said, all right, he's going to come in here and clean house. He didn't make any changes at all. But the guy is such a baseball genius that, you know, he put all the people in the right places and made it work. And so, he worked with those two guys before, but now that he's kind of assumed the role as interim president, I think he'll be even more involved. And again, he can give the yay or the nay to certain moves if he feels strongly about it either way.
And on the personal level, I mean, it has been striking. There's been so much written. Can you just give people an idea of the kind of personal regard that David Montgomery has held in within that organization, this organization that he's been such a key part of for so long?
Yeah, you know, you see a lot of players when they leave the Phillies via free agency. I'll talk to them, you know, when they come back into town, say, how are things going? And, you know, this might be the next season, or it might be a couple of years down the road or whatever. And they say, I'll tell you what, Phillies really know how to treat people. Like, you know, wives, kids, themselves personally, they do a lot of really nice things for people. And that really does start with David Montgomery. You know, David is a guy, you know, team president of a multi-million dollar operation. If you're a sales intern, he will get to know your name. He will get to know where you're from. He's that type of guy. I mean, he really makes a point to know people. He's come up to me all the time and like, hey, how's it going with this? How's it going with that? You know, media members, like I said, interns, low level employees. He really takes it upon himself to know who everybody is. And you know, think about like big corporations. You know, a president who would know the marketing intern and not just recognize the face, but know their first and last name, and then see them walking down the hallway and say, hey, Joe, how's it going today? You know, that type of thing. And that really kind of permeates throughout the organization. A lot of people describe it as they call it the Phillies family. It really is a family type of atmosphere. And for a major multi-million dollar company, it does have a kind of mom and pop quality or feel to it. And it all, without a doubt, it goes back to Dave Montgomery. He really kind of stresses that point and tries to create that feel. And that's why I think a lot of employees were really, you know, broken up about the fact that he's taking a medical leave of absence. And I know it's been trying on a lot of people in the organization. Like, they really do care about this guy a lot. And it's not just kind of lip service. Like, they really duly, truly care about this guy. And it's been tough on people.
And one more thing while we've got you here. There have been a lot of really great players in this organization. And you kind of, you wrote in your story about Cole Hamels' no-hitter, which obviously is the other biggest news this week, that he set really big goals from the start, and he's checked off most of them. With this latest kind of check-off to go along with the no-hitter, to go along with the World Series, to go along with all the other things he's accomplished, for a relatively young guy, where does Hamels rank right now in the kind of history of the Phillies organization? I got to think he's climbing that ladder pretty rapidly.
Yeah, he is. You know, today's day and age, it's tougher to get wins. He hasn't been a 20-game winner, but when you look at the numbers he's put up and how successful he has been over the years, I mean, when all is said and done, even if he stopped pitching this year for the Phillies, if they would trade him in the offseason, for example, I think he'll be regarded as one of the top starting pitchers for sure. And you know, it's a list that includes Robin Roberts, Steve Carlton, Grover Cleveland-Alexander, Curt Schilling, Jim Bunning. And honestly, I think Cole Hamels, those are five great guys. Roy Halladay, he's right underneath those five or six pitchers in terms of impacting the organization, and probably more so than Roy because he's pitched with the Phillies longer, and he was a NLCS and a World Series MVP in 2008. But, you know, when you're talking about Bunning, Schilling, Alexander, Steve Carlton, Cole Hamels, I think it says a lot because the Phillies have been around for a long time, and when Cole leaves, you know, he's not going to have to buy a meal or a drink in Philadelphia as long as he comes back into town, long after his playing career is over.
Which obviously explains a big part of why they felt the need not only to lock him up long-term but to keep him around. Todd Zielecki, thanks for dropping in here on MLB.com Extras. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.